Well, good morning, everyone. In my sermon today, you're going to be hearing me talk about Jesus being a good shepherd. But right now, I want you to think about animals. Can you do that for me? If you could be any strong animal in the world, what animal would you want to be? Think about that for a minute. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? A whale. That's a good choice. Why would you want to be a whale? They are graceful, aren't they? As they move through the ocean, they look really cool, don't they? Yeah, they're huge, magnificent creatures. What else would you want to be? A cheetah? What does a cheetah do? 70 miles an hour, you know that. The science teachers here are very happy to hear that. Well done, yeah. There's a lot of different animals we could be. But you know what, in the Bible, the Bible doesn't call us a whale. The Bible doesn't call us compare us to a cheetah. The Bible compares us to sheep. Do you like being compared to a sheep? It's actually kind of cool. Sheep need a shepherd, and Jesus is willing to be that good shepherd. And in my sermon, he's going to give us many reasons why we need him as our good shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. We need Jesus. Because Jesus provides for us. He gives us moms and dads to take care of us. And Jesus rescues us from our sins because he lays down his life on the cross. Now that's a good shepherd. I mean, a shepherd protects his flock, but a good shepherd will even give up his life. And Jesus gave up his life on the cross to save you and to save me. Let's thank Jesus for that, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for not making us animals. Thank you for making us your people. But Lord, like your lambs and sheep, remind us we need you every single day. Help us, Lord, listen to your voice of your word and help us follow you now and always. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd himself. Amen. The word of God for this Good Shepherd Sunday sermon is recorded for us in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. What's so good about the Good Shepherd? Listen to Jesus answer that in his own words. For Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is the word of the Lord. Dear Christian believers in the flock of the Good Shepherd Christ, there are times in life we want to remember, and certainly those that we don't want to forget. We can't hold on to them because they slip through our hands, but we can preserve them in pictures. Do you like pictures? I do. I take a lot of them. Just ask me about pictures of my granddaughter. Have millions. Why is that? Well, because you like to take pictures too. Pictures of your family. Pictures of event like prom, like confirmation, gatherings. God's people back in Bible days, they didn't have pictures on smartphones or on their walls like we do. Mr. Apple and Mr. Kodak weren't invented yet. But they did get the idea of pictures, and Jesus used plenty of them. Jesus used pictures or stories or comparisons to help teach people about the kingdom of God. He used a lost coin, the Good Samaritan, he's the light of the world, and of course, Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. That final picture would have had significant difference on the people of Jesus' day because it was an agrarian society. People got that. Today, oh sure, we get the idea of Jesus being a shepherd, But I think that special relationship is lost, and that's why it's good for us to have a sermon on how Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But notice Jesus didn't just call himself a shepherd, but the Good Shepherd. I'll explain in the sermon why that's true. But if Jesus is the Good Shepherd, that makes you and me, and now Lila, part of his flock, part of his baptized believers, and we need him every day. And when this sermon is done, I pray that God's word will inspire you to follow Jesus even closer than you did before. I'm sure there's someone who's still asking the question in this sanctuary, so what's so good about the Good Shepherd anyway? I'm glad you asked. On the basis of John chapter 10, we'll answer it with Jesus' own words. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep, and he gathers his sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus declared to his followers. He chose this picture to show them and us our great spiritual need. Sheep need a shepherd, no doubt about that, because sheep don't live very long or very well without one. I love that picture of Jesus being a good shepherd, don't you? In fact, for many years in my church office, I would have a picture of Jesus holding, you could say, hugging a single sheep. I often pictured myself being that close to Jesus when I've had a bad day or a bad week. You ever have bad days or bad weeks? Remember where Jesus has you, right in his arms. But I'll be also honest, we don't always like to be compared to sheep. Oh, sure, when we're little, as a preschooler, we'll belt out with the best of them. I am Jesus' little lamb. Kids like to sing the campfire song. Maybe you've sung it too. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I was told in the last service a kid kept singing that in the pew. It's kind of catchy. But as we get older, do we always like being compared to sheep? And that, yet that's what Scripture calls us, lambs and sheep. And that does make perfect animal planet sense. And here's why. Sheep are defenseless creatures. It's a scientific fact. If you flip a sheep on its back, it cannot right itself. It'll just sit there, dangling, desperate, and it will die there unless someone comes along and put it the right way. Sheep are most certainly defenseless. Sheep tend to be stubborn. Doubt me on that? Go to a petting zoo. I took my kids when they were little to the petting zoo in Milwaukee, and I spotted a sheep. I wanted to bring that sheep over from one side of the pen to the other. That sheep wasn't moving for nobody. The Bible tells us that's what we are, sheep, stubborn. And I used to think that sheep were sweet-smelling. And then I got up close and personal with them and took a whiff. P-U! But that's what God says you and I are. Oh, we can try to cover up with perfume, with antiperspirant, with cologne. But because of our personal sins that you and I do every single day, we stink to high heaven. We're sheep in desperate need of a shepherd. And finally, sheep tend to wander. We wander into the latest fad, into listening to a voice that we know we shouldn't, and yet we do. The pathway of least resistance, the lure of false teaching. And thank God we have a shepherd who calls himself the Good Shepherd, that Jesus is up for the job, that he's willing to be our shepherd. And he offers that through holy baptism. Jesus calls himself Good Shepherd. Now, why does that matter? Jesus could have used two Greek words here. The first would stress moral goodness. And of course, Jesus could have said that. He's perfect. But Jesus didn't choose that word. He used the one that stressed quality. In other words, Jesus calls himself the best of the best shepherds, the Top Gun Shepherd, if you will. So what's so good about the Good Shepherd? Oh, well, the ultimate reason, because Jesus says the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know the general job description of a shepherd, right? provide for the sheep, protect the sheep, but going the extra mile, literally being able to die for that sheep, a sheep that doesn't have enough sense to come in from the rain? Yeah, that's what Jesus did. And he compared himself to what he was going to do on the cross to save us from our sins, to what we often put our hope and our trust in, the hired hand. Anything but anyone but Jesus. And we're willing to follow anyone or anything, including ourselves and what we feel we should do, then listening to Jesus and follow him. Well, this is what Jesus said. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. As our only true Savior, Jesus has fought for us. He did that on the cross, where he died to pay for our sins, not to just save us from the wolf that's literally all around us, predators everywhere, but to save us from sin, death, and hell. And he rose again. Jesus rose to be our good shepherd. And now the book of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus sacrificed himself once to save us from hell. But Jesus did more. What's so great about the good shepherd? He knows his sheep. In case anyone missed it the first time, Jesus again declares, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." What does that say? Jesus knows us. The Bible even says Jesus knows how many hairs are on the top of our head. Well, for some of us, Jesus has to count higher than others. Jesus knows the day that we were born. He knows the day that we're going to die. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows how you and I have used our time, our talents, our tongues. He knows all about us. The amazing part is that he loves us anyway. We matter to God. A true shepherd knows the bleats and the blahs of his sheep. Jesus knows our struggles, our joys, our strengths, and our weaknesses. And now he asks us to follow him with the same close personal relationship as the Father and the Son have together. It's a reciprocating relationship. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know them. We need his voice, his guidance, his forgiveness, his discipline, and that's something like busy sheep, like us, tend to forget. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a young man who had graduated from St. Paul's Lutheran School, said it was one of the best times in his life, and he's so glad he went there. But he also told me he didn't have a church. He didn't go anymore. I asked him what his relationship with God was like. And he said, "Oh, God and I are friends. I talk to God all the time in prayer." And I commended him for it. I said, "Nice job. Keep doing that. Keep talking to God." But let me ask you, when do you hear his voice? When do you hear him talking to you, my friends? God wants us to know today. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." That's why it's so important that you and I are here right now. Not to listen to my word, that doesn't matter, but to listen to God's word, because that does. Our kids, grandkids, nieces, and nephews, they need to see us here in this house, not once in a while, but regularly. Why? Sheep need a shepherd. They need to see us at home opening up our Bibles, going to God first when we have troubles. Oh, you might not realize it, but they're picking up on more of what we're doing every day. We owe it to the next generation so they too will seek the Good Shepherd. What's so good about the Good Shepherd? He knows his sheep. And finally, he gathers his sheep. Scripture says in the final words of our reading, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." You would think that Jesus would just be content to have the sheep that he has. That's you and me. No. Jesus wants more. He knows that there are other sheep outside our church doors who are struggling, who are hurting, who are wandering. And oh, believe me, Jesus is the good shepherd. He relentlessly pursues them. But now Jesus has given you and me a mission. He's told us, baptize more. Now you know why Lila was baptized today. Because Jesus wants another sheep in his kingdom, but don't stop there. Jesus wants you and me to go outside these church doors to make his mission our mission, to care about other sheep. My friends, look at it this way. Why do others need Jesus too? As you're driving around New Ulm this week, look for animals on the side of the road. Most animals that you see that'll survive, they'll be in packs, they'll be in flocks. But you also see other animals on the road, on the side of the road. Roadkill. Dead. That's what happens to those who try to do it alone. They don't get very far. They don't live very well. Oh, I know it seems like we can do it all on our own. But we can't. I can't. You can't. So God tells us to reach them. He says he wants to reach other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Oh, maybe some of these sheep live in lands far away. Or maybe they live right here in New Ulm and we can't reach them. So we use our offerings, our prayers to reach them, to go to places that we cannot go. They need to hear the voice of our good shepherd, and you and I need to give of our generous prayer and offering support. But of course, we don't have to go around the world or simply go into a classroom. We can go right here. Some of these sheep are people we work with, people we live with, right next door. God can use you and me. But what can I say? I'm just a sheep. Just say what Jesus has done for you. Jesus died for me. He lives for me. He's coming back for me. That's why I trust him. You can trust him too. My friends, you have no idea how powerful your simple invitation to look for another sheep and welcome them to follow the Good Shepherd. Recently, I read of a family Olympics. In the event, the mothers and kids were blindfolded and they were challenged to find one another. Only here was the catch. Only the kids could call out for their moms. Can you imagine all of these kids calling mom? How are they ever going to find their kids? Easy. Moms know their kids' voices, true? Jesus knows our voices. And he looks for us. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus gives life in heaven. He gives life right now. Jesus isn't interested in just being a picture on a wall. Jesus wants to be our good shepherd every day. He hears our voices, and he wants us to hear his voice. I'm not so sure. I always like being compared to a sheep. But I sure am glad that I have a good shepherd who's laid down his life for me, that knows me, and has other sheep that he gathers. Aren't you? Amen.